League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast, the Two Johnnies Podcast,
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to Podcast 115, coming like David Hasselhoff diving into a wave to rescue some hot young one, Baywatch style.
Some people stand in the darkness, afraid to step into the light.
We're not,
one line, though. One line would have done there,
one
John.
One line would have done with it. Sorry, John. Fuck. On this week's podcast, we discuss how sport has changed since the 90s, lad. The glory years.
He's against eating bats, but he's got no problem with anybody eating grey squirrels. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She misses spray tanning so much she'd even let the person who does Donald Trump's tan do hers at this stage. Maureen is here to spice things up with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as putting Pornhub on the laptop after an unsuccessful night out, we run off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week. Maura, writing this now. You've already lowered the tone straight away, Maura.
The hand pump has been used in recent times for the Two Johnnies.
Easy now.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just if I could through the chair there, yeah. Niall was onto us via email and he said, back when I was in school, we didn't live on a school bus route, so we used to have to get the famous JJ Kavanaugh bus that passed through the town and went on to Carlow IT. It used to have the same few characters sitting on the front seats every day, and we got to know them over the years. One morning when we were in sixth year, myself and my friend realised at the bus that neither of us had our colouring pencils for our geography exam that day on the OS maps.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Disaster!
We got on the bus and went to sit down the back, as young lads do. The bus took off and down slid a bunch of Crayola markers tied with a black hair bobbin on the floor at our feet. There was nobody sitting around us for 10 rows, so we assumed they were left behind and whipped them up into the school bag for the exam that day. The two of us were delighted when the bus dropped us off and pulled off to Carlow IT. I asked my friend, take them out there and we'll split them up 50-50, so we would both have something for the exam. He took the black hair bobbin off and with that out shot a massive white stick. Both of us looked at each other in confusion until the realization set in that it was a walking aid for the blind girl who sat in the front row of the bus.
Oh my God.
You know, like the retractable.
Yeah.
Well, the cold sweat started beating out of us. We spent the whole day feeling pure guilty about it. Couldn't stop thinking about how was she going to manage in her own Carlow with no cane. Didn't concentrate at all in class that day. Couldn't stop thinking about it. My friend brought it back to the bus that evening when we were going to Carlow and explained to the driver what happened. He agreed to tell the girl the next day it had been handed in and say nothing about the two of us. We got a great laugh out of it, although the guilt nearly killed us, from Niall, and he has attached photographs to explain it. And I
can see the similarities between the Corolla markers and the walking cane. They are very alike.
I don't know.
No? At that age, lad. Yeah. She don't know your arse from your elbow.
Jesus.
We've got some correspondence on nudity.
Hey.
Delightful. Well, men, what's the crack? Big fan of the pod. The second one is the job. Listened to them all recently and went back to the start again. You had a topic about nudist beaches and nudity in the dressing room from one of your early pods.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a time when I was a young lad, about 18. Now, keep me anonymous if you can. A lot of people are trying to block out the memory of this day. We were hurling intermediate league on a dirty, wet day up the mountain in Tullohar. Is that how it's pronounced? I'm struggling with that.
We'll go with that.
Tullohar. shithole club of Kilkenny man Walter Walsh when a big 10-man row broke out about 5 minutes before full time. A few raw slaps were thrown, but it was all broke up and the game eventually finished up with no other major problems. So both teams went off into the dressing rooms, but both the home and away dressing rooms had the one big communal shower. This is where it gets good. Into the showers we go. There's about 10 big hairy apes in there from each team, all lathered up in soap and the place full of steam. Then the two main men of each team who started to fight on the pitch started to talk, apologised to each other and shake hands. Then one of them said the wrong thing and the handshake gets a bit tighter. So next thing, a bit of pushing and shoving, and before you know it, there's a 20-man naked brawl in full flow with lads slipping and sliding and bottles of Lynx shower gel flying all over the shop, with more lads piling in from either dressing room to get involved. Fists and Mickeys flying all over the place. And the place at this stage is steamed up like a Turkish bath. A good 5 minutes later, things eventually calmed down when lads realised what the fuck they were actually doing and we were fucked out of dressing room. We may have got a good hiding in the match, but by fuck, we won the great shower brawl of 2010. Keep her lip eyes. Oh my God.
Nobody wins a shower brawl.
No. Honestly, there's no winners in that.
Another man puts his Mickey on me, lad.
I tell you though.
He's going to pay for it.
In a scrap like that, Mickey's a fair game. Be pulling the nuts off some lad.
No. Would you punch a lad in the balls?
In a scrap?
Yeah.
When he's naked on top of me, I fucking bite it off. Oh, this podcast has started at a ferocious pace here today.
On weird names from Mars Topic last week.
Let's get away from cock.
John emailed. He said, this is especially relevant for me as my wife and I will be spending the next 6 months or so arguing over baby names. Baby's on the way. As a primary teacher, some names are off the list because I do not want my child to have the same name as a little bollocks I used to teach. The name John is also off the table as I am named after my father and my wife doesn't want John the Third.
Oh,
bitch. I have come across some interesting names, though. Teaching in England, I have thought a promise, serenity,
Jesus,
bliss.
Parents were definitely hippies.
Pocahontas.
Like Disney too much.
Jameson after the whiskey.
Alcoholics.
Tilton after the stand in St. Andrews. Alcoholics. Candy and Apple. They were sisters.
Definitely from a carnival.
Paula, Pauline, Paulette, Pollyanna, all sisters again.
Lazy parents.
Nathan, known as Patrick. I wouldn't mind that. Queen.
Oh, Jesus.
Zion. Dior. Destiny. The list goes on. And they're not all girls' names either. This is mental. Some of his favourite stories, right, about this. Before children start school over here, the reception teacher, like junior infants, has to do a few home visits in the June before the kids start. Well, 1 year the reception teacher called to a house and began chatting to the parents. Is Mary looking forward to school? Does she have any allergies, etc.? To which the parent replied, oh, her name is not Mary, it's Magella. Okay, but you have written Mary on the application form. The parent said, well, she played Mary in the nativity in play school, and now she only answers to Mary.
That's crazy.
It's a good thing she wasn't playing the donkey or Jesus or something. Here comes the angel Gabriel here now.
Oh my God.
I need another one where the child was named Y-E-O-J.
Yeoj, is it? I don't even know how you'd pronounce that.
Y-E-O-J, named after his father, Joey.
Oh, they spelt the child's name back to front.
Oh.
Have they lost their fucking minds?
You need a license for a dog, lad.
Oh my God. I worry for some kids out there, I gotta say. Kelly emailed podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie as well, and she says, well, lads and Mara, just getting in touch on Mara's topic of unusual names. Smacks was talking about a girl named Shakira playing Camogie.
Yep.
I know of a Shakira from, I would think, the same place Smacks was talking about. In Shakira's family, there's also a Shania, a Britney, and a Mariah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
They must really like 90s music. Also,
have you met her brother, Usher? And her father, Mr. Worldwide.
And her cousin, Tom Jones. Also, my friend is a teacher in Leash. She has a child called Princess in her class. Princess has a sister called Tiara and brothers called Wolf and Notorious.
Ah, fuck off now. Go away with that.
Honestly, that's hardly true. There's a few more kids in the family, but I can't remember their unusual names, but the youngest is called David. Just for good measure. Keep up the good work. Podcast getting us through these strange times. That's brilliant.
That's mental.
A child. Notorious, come in for your dinner. And like, he must be definitely fat, like. Do you know what I mean? With loads of chains on him. Notorious comes in the table. He's like, bitch, get my dinner on the table.
He got a snapback and sunglasses.
But he's from Leash, like. Fucking hell.
I think it's fair, like, a lot of those names, like, you know, Princess and Hope and all that, that was kind of an African thing first.
I haven't a clue.
Then it kind of caught on here, I think. But Jesus Christ. Another listener says, they've finally caught up, so now they can contribute. And on names, my aunt had a student called A, B, C, D, E, pronounced
Absidy.
Okay. And another one called,
oh my God,
Escadillac.
Escalade,
but it says like Cadillac.
Yeah, like as in Cadillac Escalade.
Jesus Christ.
As in the car.
She's hoping to meet an Irishman because she loves names like Aoife and Dahi.
God, just call the kids Aoife and Dahi anyway. Don't.
A, B, C, D, E. Ah, you're only bullying your own children with that carry on now.
Luke via email on the same topic. Hiya, Johnny's. Honestly, I love this one. When we were making our confirmation, we were all trying to think of what names to choose. Most of us chose holy names like Matthew and Simon to keep the parents and teachers happy. Made sure we would all go to heaven. However, one of the lads in our class from the travelling community insisted on choosing the name Elvis. Our teacher and local priest tried to convince him not to go with it, but he wouldn't back down, saying multiple times, "Sir, he's the king." From that day on, he was known as Elvis McCarty. That comes in from Luke in Limerick.
Sorry, he's the king.
Sorry, he's the king. That's the best part. Like, well, I read that. Like, Luke, lovely, brilliant email and class delivery as well. Of that, I got right laugh out of that. Oh my God.
Colum said, when I was abroad in Western Canada a few years ago, it's fairly wild out there. A chap I used to drink with, a mechanic. He was fairly big into cars and he used to like mud bogging, which is drag racing high powered top heavy vehicles through mud pits. He named his first kid Diesel Knox. Diesel like the fuel and Knox like the engine is about to blow up. Call him and tip.
For fuck's sake. What's we going through?
What's people be at like?
Right, let's get back to another class running team we have at the moment, which is doctors and nurses stories. Angus via Snapchat was in touch and he says,
Angus, there's a good name.
Yeah, good strong name, like good country name. Angus says, raging not to have won the mug with my outstanding nurse story idea. So this was actually Angus who came up with this idea for a running topic. And he says, I think it's time to raise the stakes. From travellers' breasts, lost didlows, and shifting cysts, let me bring you one of my best stories ever. A few years ago, I was working nights in a medical centre at Electric Picnic. I've got a full catalogue of festival stories. About 4 a.m, after a busy few hours dealing with drink, drugs, and general chaos, I was outside the post having a well-deserved coffee when this young lad comes running up from the campsite in absolute panic, shouting to see a doctor. I calmed him down, brought him inside, where he told me he had contracted an STI after meeting a new lady friend and going back to her tent.
What?
I started to tell him that there was no way he could tell yet if he had, and started into the advice about going to his GP or a clinic after the waiting period and what to look out for, but he was having none of it. Panic, fueled by drink and whatever else he had had, he started shouting about his crown jewels were glowing yellow and he needed to sort it right away. The only way to calm him down was to agree to have a look and examine it. So when he dropped the pants and had a look, he noticed his bits were not glowing yellow and headed away back to the campsite. We all had a good laugh and I went back to my coffee outside. Not 5 minutes later, the lad came back in an even bigger panic and almost abusive at this stage, saying I did nothing for him and was full of shit. And when he went for a sneaky bush piss on the way back to his tent, his bits were there, glowing in the dark again. A quick revisit of the history gave us the solution. Hadn't he a heap of glow sticks on her wrist? Or hadn't she a heap of glow sticks on her wrist and one burst, covering his lad in UV paint during a fairly intense hand shandy? One wet wipe later and the crisis was solved. Another happy customer. Imagine being half cut and paranoid with a few drugs in your system and seeing your bits glowing in the dark after a one-nighter. That is insane.
The first man to catch an STD from a handjob.
Honestly though, you would be a bit scared. You'd be like, did I just fuck like some sort of a nuclear woman or something? Like, I don't know. Jesus Christ.
Catherine via email said, when I was a nursing student in Limerick, we had a patient who was confused due to a urine tract infection. Nice. She was convinced we were trying to kill her and we had poisoned her foot. At lunchtime, she
perceived... Her food.
Her food, sorry. You have poisoned my foot, you fiend. At lunchtime, she proceeded to get up from her chair and fire the food, or the foot, from her plate at passers-by, including myself. After some ducking and ninja moves, I managed to get the plate out of her reach. Just when I thought I was safe and she had nothing left to throw, surely, I then saw the gleam in her eye. Like the light bulb had gone off over her head, she proceeded to pull down her nappy. The other nurses ran. They must have seen her do this before. I wasn't so lucky. A big, hard knob of shit hit me in my right arm and as I was turning to run. I had to wear theatre scrubs for the rest of the day.
Jesus.
The other nurses got a right laugh out of it when they were asked what happened to my uniform. This is just one of many stories that happened to us nurses.
I got a feel for the nurses.
Like. Someone throw a knob of shit at me, lad. They're getting a fucking hiding.
They're getting a left hand, lad. A left hand.
How do nurses put up with that?
Nurses, we salute you, nurses and doctors. Another anonymous via email. I'm a student of a branch of healthcare and was on placement last year in a hospital. Somewhere in Ireland, we shall say. I was on the wards with a qualified personnel who was young enough and also good looking. So I was trying really hard not to bring any attention to myself. Just the two of us. I had a look at the patient history, but just a really brief look. We needed the patient to be sat up in the bed for the procedure, so we both took an arm each, and he asked the doctor here, the good-looking doctor, asked the patient to dig his heels into the bed so that they could pull him up. The patient replied with, "I don't have any," to which we both looked at each other, very confused. I had a bad feeling though. It wasn't until we checked the patient's history again didn't we see he was a double amputee and quite literally did not have any heels. Fuck my whole life. From an anonymous emailer. Oh my god. Lads, there's some crazy shit happening. Keep those mad stories coming in.
Man, it's tough being a frontline.
Yeah.
Dara Turley was on Insta. Said, well, John, on the end of year / sixth year pranks going on, I went to a rather posh Dublin school where you would expect any pranks to be fairly tame. But there was the occasional group of rough young fellas throughout the years. Oh, with a farm on the ground, these rough men somehow managed to gain access to the animals. The funniest story coming from the school is one year a few lads let chickens into the school to run around wild all over the place, totally wrecking the shop. The deputy principal caught one of the chickens and, thinking nothing of it, he launched it out the window under the assumption that chickens can fly. This was not the case. The bird had unfortunately had its wings clipped. And when it was thrown out the window, the chicken then fell three floors to its death.
You shouldn't be laughing. Animal cruelty is wrong. So wrong.
That's
funny. But at the same time, it's funny.
Oh, sorry to any chickens listening. That's from Dara. Thanks, Dara.
Yeah. Lastly then, the correspondence. I don't know if it's just lockdown, but it's getting fucking better every week.
Like. What teacher catches a chicken and fucks it out a three-story window like? Even if it can fly, that's not fair.
I tell you though, there's no one talking out of turn after that. The teacher has to turn around and just go, who's fucking next? Who's next? Open your mouth, Peter, one more time. You'll follow the chicken. I tell you, homework was fucking done that night. Homework was done that night. Okay. Mairead was on touch on Noel's news. Just listening to Noel talking about his trip to the Holy Land on last week's Noel's News brought me back to my trip to Israel with a few of the girls about 8 years ago before we came home from teaching in Abu Dhabi. When Noel said he was about 12 ciders deep on the Church of the Annunciation, at first I thought, that's unrealistic. Then I remembered. We got so drunk on a pub crawl around Israel that a lad claiming to be the second coming of Christ had to help us push one of the girls upstairs to bed.
I'm sorry, Jesus, buddy.
That's Jesus, man. You know, helping out. Up early the next morning to do the walking tour of the old city, another of the girls was so hungover she puked at the actual gate to Damascus. When we finally arrived at the church, we weren't allowed in because we'd too much leg on show. When people ask, where's the best place for a night out? Israel's always my answer now. I mean, Jerusalem, not the whole country of Israel. And that comes in from Mairead.
Mairead, who the fuck goes on a drinking holiday to Jerusalem?
Fucking hell, they're badass. They must be fucking atheists, just proving a point.
Just, jeez, you know what I mean? What's wrong with like Ibiza or Spain?
Who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug? I'm going to say this is like one of the toughest weeks to pick it. I got to be honest, I'm leaning towards Angus.
I like Angus. I also like the young traveller lad who took Elvis as his middle name. Yeah. But
I think Angus deserves it here. This tread has provided a lot of laughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maura, what do you reckon?
Okay.
I think Luke in Limerick for his Elvis McCarthy story. I think that's just like, you know, you can't argue with Sir, he's the king, so, you know.
Okay, Maura has spoken.
Angus,
you're not actually winning the mug this week. You're going to have to come back with an absolute cracker next
another
week.
Another one.
The pressure is on you.
And also, where is Stephen from Armagh, who I met running around Thurles in his underwear?
He still
hasn't come back to us.
Okay, we're still waiting on that as well. Angus, you haven't won the mug, so we can't wait for next week's story. Luke from Limerick, you have won the mug, so email podcast@2johnnies.ie and Maura will look after it from there for you. Fair play. And thanks a million to everyone sending the correspondence.
Yes.
It's fucking hilarious and you're all legends. The weekly roundup, John Boy.
What's been going on, John Boy?
Do you know what? This segment hasn't aged well with coronavirus, has it really? First of all, our Live at the Marquee show, we do have an update on that. So the Two Johnnies podcast, which was meant to be on the 3rd of May 2020, has been rescheduled to the 29th of May 2021. So just basically a year on.
Yeah.
And the tickets that you've bought, that show was sold out. Those tickets are valid for next year. Hold on to your tickets.
Stick them on the fridge.
Stick them on the fridge. And in a year's time, imagine the party we're going to... We've got a year now to think up of some crazy shit to do. So that show is going to be even bigger now, even better. And look, that might be our next show, so we can't wait.
Yeah, and if you have any issues, don't contact us. We don't have your money.
Get on to Aiken Promotions.
Ticketmaster.
We don't have your money.
Yes. Okay? We get on to someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you're very stuck, you can contact us, but like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, don't.
Just hold on to tickets and we're going to party, all right?
Yeah.
Going to a full weekend of it.
Wait, John, what else has been going on? What have you been getting up to?
Oh, sure, the usual banana bread and fucking staying in bed late and watching fucking...
Did you make more banana bread?
Yeah, I'm in love with banana bread now. Can't get enough.
You've got an addiction, man.
Yeah, but apart from that, what I did buy during the week, I've done a bit of online shopping. I got a Hurley Master. What's a Hurley Master, I hear you ask?
What's
said
Hurley
nobody.
Master?
A Hurley Master is like a metal frame with a net on it, and the net's real bouncy. So instead of poking against a wall, you poke against this. And
otherwise known as a rebounder.
Hurling rebounder, yeah.
Yeah.
So I have one of them now. I bought it online in the backyard, and I'm out doing a bit on that every day.
Is it a good one? Because I remember Larry Corbett used to be selling them at the Plowing Lack, and I don't know how good they were, Larry.
The one I had is very good. And I have the net like super tight on it. So the ball nearly doubles its pace on the way back.
Wow.
So I'm like a fucking ninja out in the backyard now, lad.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah. So it's sharpened up my skills. The Junior South Tipperary Championship. Yeah, I tell you, this goes ahead. Watch out. I'm back and I'm better than ever.
Because if any ball comes within 2 foot of you.
Yeah. If any ball drops into my hands. Whoa.
You're going to catch it.
Going to be hell to pay. There's going to be hell to pay.
Right, we've been looking at TikTok and I don't know what to make of it.
TikTok.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of TikTok.
We do have a TikTok page. Yeah.
We do, yeah, and we do a bit, but like, people do dances and stuff. But you know what I don't get? is say that big, the real famous dance at the moment is Blinding Lights, along to the...
Yeah, I've done it. I know how to do it.
The Weeknd song, right? Exactly. But I've seen people doing that and it has like 10 million likes. And I'm thinking, but someone else did that yesterday. Yeah. And then someone else did it the day before. Why are we watching the video? Like, there's nothing original about it.
Yeah.
It's just...
I think you're thinking too much about
it. I think I am. I'm overthinking TikTok.
Yeah, 100%. It's just meant to be a bit of crack. Like.
Bit of crack.
I sat down and watched like 23 minutes of that dance non-stop on YouTube. There's a compilation.
Wow.
Yeah, different techniques, different dances, you know. I nailed it then when I done it. I'm not putting it up on TikTok, though.
I'll take you on in a Blinding Lights off.
Okay. That's something to do this week, anyway. Yeah. At least it'll fucking pass the time. Anything else this week, John? Or just...
No,
just,
drive on
just
by.
Just general it. Fucking misery.
We've been really busy. We're lucky that we're still able to work like 6 days a week on something we love.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Like,
we're blessed.
Doing two podcasts a week, that keeps us going. We're writing songs. We're coming up with new material. We're getting ready for when this lockdown's over. We're going to come back with a fucking clatter, with a bang.
We're going to bait you across the face with a big Mickey made of jokes.
Also, just thanks to everyone who has signed up so far to the Two Johnnies Extra podcast. We're loving the crack. It's great interaction on Patreon and stuff like that. We're going to keep it poked out. Our extra pod number 5, entitled Garlic Mushrooms at the Disco, was out this week, where we discussed things we learned about the birds and the bees, and if Johnny B has ever encountered stage fright in the bedroom, was a topic
again,
that came up. If that doesn't grip you and make you sign up to Patreon, well then I don't know what does.
I didn't see that. No.
So you can download the Patreon app and just go from there. It's €6 a month, and we'd love if you signed up. It's great crack. Alright, GAA legend Colm O'Rourke once wrote in his Sunday Independent column how the double All-Ireland winning Meath team in the late 80s got their gym work in. He said, many of that Meath team had their own gyms on site. They were owned by our fathers and were called farms. Weight training was mucking out sheds and pitching bales of hay. Speed, flexibility and dexterity were gained from milking cows, tinning turnips or picking potatoes. With this in mind, we've decided how sport has changed over the past few decades. We wanted to discuss it.
Yes, it's a hot topic at the moment because now with the old lockdown, they're showing a lot of reruns of classic games on television, and this has whet our appetite for it. So Colm said on training schedules, Meath's training schedule was, after a spell of hard sessions in spring, Meath concentrated on football only during the summer months. Oh, wouldn't that be fucking class?
Oh.
It was all based on skill development. If the opposition thought it was based on raw power, well, that was their problem. Training was generally on Tuesday and Thursday nights, with Saturday and Sunday mornings thrown in. Again, not much different to the present day. The important thing is that training is about quality, not quantity. Many of today's sophisticated players might look back at our approach and think it seems slightly only removed from cavemen. Yet most angles were covered. Admittedly, diet was not as comprehensively monitored, but we dined with the nuns in Ballantyre, near Navan, and ate like kings. We were lucky not to get gout.
Oh my God.
And Pat Spillane, the great Kerry footballer, said about Mick O'Dwyer's training regime. He was manager from 1975 to 1989. Little more than endless laps, wire-to-wire runs in Fitzgerald Stadium, and games of backs and forwards. But by 2013, when Mick was managing Clare, he had accepted that the days of making players do laps were over and got a physical trainer in to help the team. He said at the time, we'll go with all this stuff now that's going on and see how it works. We have a fella in, Michael Cahill. He's doing a great job here. The day of the lap is gone, they tell me. I'd like to be running fellas all the time if I had my way.
Oh, Mick, oh, fucking hell.
Remember the famous story about him and Leash?
Yeah. He made him run laps and then whoever didn't fucking survive, basically, or whoever dropped off, weren't on the panel. And the lads who did survive running endless laps of the field were on the panel. Well, I tell you, I would have fucking never made that team. As soon as he said laps, I'd be like, fuck, I don't care how many All-Irelands you've won. I'm not doing fucking laps for anyone. Anyone.
Awfully hurler Johnny Pilkington took hurling seriously, but never too seriously. 2 days before the 1994 All-Ireland, he attended a wedding and was off alcohol. But one of the guests kept reminding him to stay sober and he couldn't stick it any longer. Johnny told the Irish Independent, I got tired of him and people like him telling me what to do. So I had 7 or 8 pints and I think I hurled fairly well in 94.
What a hero. This is why I love the 90s.
Yeah.
Now maybe we look back on it with rose-tinted glasses because it was such a good period for hurling and the GAA in general. But like even for other sports further afield, I think that 90s was a glorious time where the sport was good, but the crack was even better.
It was the time of the maverick.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you get away with... Like Johnny Pilkington that we just spoke about there, Offaly hurler, won 2 All-Irelands with Offaly, right? I've read stories about him in the paper, like where he was having a fag at halftime in an All-Ireland final in the toilets in Croke Park. Yeah. That would not happen. Nowadays, they'd be fucking injecting glucose into their arse or something like that to try and fucking, you know, run that little bit faster. Like, there he's in, fucking smoking an old fuck. I assume it's probably Carroll's. He seems like a Carroll smoker. I don't think it'd be Benson or anything like that.
I played on a couple of teams now where we had lads smoking fags in the dressing room.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when Packy was manager of the Junior B footballers? He'd be giving a team talk and he'd be smoking fags while he'd be giving it, like.
But it's crazy. I remember, like, shit lads were at, like, when I was kind of growing up and going into dressing rooms, like, when me father would be playing in the dressing room, and it'd be just a bang of deep heat, like, on a Sunday morning. There'd be a smell of, like, stale pints and deep heat. In the 90s, deep heat would cure anything. It's a pseudo cream of today.
Did you have any of the magic leg rub?
Oh, yeah. When I done my knee last time, which forced my retirement, although I'm back now, but like that initial retirement, I really hurt my knee really bad. And Jura Halley, one of the boys, was onto like, so the fabled leg rub in care is called Larry Mullen's leg rub.
Larry Mullen's leg rub, yeah.
Nobody knows what's in it, okay? And maybe some of the products are illegal in it, but it comes in like an old Coke bottle. And then, like, my knee was fucked. And then Larry dropped over this bottle and was like, put that on twice a day. And when I opened the bottle, I was like, I am not putting that on any part of my body.
I had some.
What? I hope you didn't fucking drink it because you would die.
It came in a Budweiser bottle with a cork shoved into it.
No way.
And it looked real thick, kind of like used chip pan oil, I thought. And I rubbed it on before a couple of games. But, like, I don't know. I think it was all in your head.
Yeah. I think it was a fucking placebo that smelt like fucking petrol. I don't know what it was rubbing on it. But
those days, drinking wasn't as frowned upon.
No.
Like nowadays, there's wicked too much pressure on each other in the gar.
Yeah. Even at club level. Like I remember training a couple of years ago and one of the lads said in January, let's stay off the drink now until we're out with championship. And then another lad popped up and was like, we can't keep lads off the drink the night before championship. Never mind fucking 6 months. But... like, what about it? Like, we're meant to be enjoying it. Like, even at inter-county level now, those lads probably don't drink. You're looking at, they probably have one night off during the league and have a few pints. Other than that, that's it. Like, they're fucking living like monks. For me, I don't care about it. It's not worth it. Nothing's worth that. Nothing's worth not being able to live the life you want to live.
I think, though, like, is the crack really the only reason you play the guy?
Yeah, like, honestly, the reason I play is, like, I like playing the sport and I like training and I like my teammates. But the best feeling is when you win a championship match and you go back, like, to the house, or else you're in the shower after the match. I like to go back to my own house. So that's where my beauty products are. But, like, there's nothing like getting into the shower. You have the music pumping and you're after winning a championship match and playing well and you're going out to the pub to celebrate. Like, that few minutes in the shower, that's the best. That is why I play GA. 100%.
For the shower.
For that glorious feeling. That glorious feeling that comes on you before you head to the Shamrock Lounge after winning the championship match. That is the best. The best.
I don't mind lads drinking, like, but just kind of let your teammates know. And, like, don't be all cloak and dagger about it. Be like, you know, I have a thing on, lads, and I'm going for a few pints. And then if they want to play it, they can play it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I was only talking to the gent before he came on. And that when I was managing the Care Junior Bs, it was his 30th birthday the night before. And the boys, Flan, the boys had to go and pick him up from the house and, like, get him out of bed.
Yeah.
And, like, drip feed him Lucozade. He was absolutely hanging. But he came on and hurled a great game.
There you go.
And the same man, he confirmed with me today, reckons he's broke his nose 10 times playing GA.
Fucking hell.
And that's some madness.
Yeah, he puts the body on the line, in fairness to him.
And I had another lad when I was over the Junior Bs who was fond of a pint.
Mm.
What? I hear you say?
Yeah, I don't believe it. Then Junior B. So fucking hell.
No, but I needed him. And he wouldn't answer the phone to me. So I found out where he lived. And I rang the doorbell and he wouldn't answer the door to me. But I knew he was in the house with another lad who was fond of the drink. So they were in a housing estate. And I hopped the side gate. Gate's got to be 7-8 foot high. I got climbed over that. In around the back. Back door was locked. I climbed in his kitchen window. In over the sink.
Yeah.
Into the house, upstairs. And I got him. Pulled him out to go and hurl the match.
How'd he play?
Grand. We were going in the car. And I was eating a bar of chocolate or something on the way in. And he was like, will you throw that out the window? I'm going to be fucking sick. Short arm.
Think our fondness of sport in the 90s is, are we looking at it through rose tinted glasses? Like, was the sport actually that good?
It was more of a time for Mavericks, because I think the game was less mathematical, less moneyballed. There was a time for guys to practice more skills. People played more socially, whereas nowadays there's definitely an overemphasis on physicality.
Yeah.
Think of your club team. Think of how much time you spend on fitness. Now look around at the other guys on your hurling team. Can everyone on your team strike the ball both sides?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
How many guys in your team could hand pass both sides? How many guys in your team could take a sideline? How many guys could double on a ball?
I'm just thinking now, we're fair shit.
But you know what I mean? There's lads playing inter-county football at 25 years of age who can't kick the ball with their bad side.
Yeah.
Because they've spent so much time on physicality.
They're probably a tank and have a fucking 12 pack.
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? Outside of the boat, lad.
I know. I'm just thinking back to like, you know, when I was growing up and playing and stuff like that underage, the whole science of it wasn't really like you'd run laps and then you train and you play your matches and that's it. But then
fellas
like,
would be fit.
Yeah, but there was a turning point there where like, you know, lads started hearing these stories of how other GA teams were getting professional and soccer teams around the place were getting professional.
Yeah.
And some lad, we got to a North Final under 14 with Ross Cray, and some fella had heard a rumour in the local bacon factory that ice bats were the new thing.
Oh, yes.
Oh, ice bats, top technology, right? But he failed to find out how the fuck these ice bats worked, right? So what happened was, we got to the final, and then, like, when you get to the final, you've obviously been doing something right along the way.
Yeah.
But they forgot about this, and thought, we've a week now to the final. We'll train them like fucking, you know, military stuff.
Yeah.
So they were training the guts out, and then one night they were like, no, go inside, we've ice bats for you. But they had no idea how the ice bats worked.
This is under 14.
Yeah, right? So they thought, top level now, using ice bats, right? But like, you're meant to be in an ice bat for like 60 seconds. And then you're meant to get out and get into a hot shower. That's how they work.
Right.
We were in the ice bat for around 10 minutes. And then we just dried ourselves off and went home. We played the final that Saturday. And I think six of the lads had flu.
At the morning?
Yeah, had proper flu, like proper full on flu from the fucking ice bats. So the lads went home, they nearly hypothermia. Parents were going mental. Jeez, my Jimmy came home. He was shaking all night. So
a little knowledge.
Yeah, a little knowledge goes a long way.
Can I ask you about helmets, John?
Yeah,
I know you love looking back at lads wearing no helmets in the gar.
Yeah, look, if I was playing, if I had an opportunity now to not wear a helmet, it wouldn't bother me. I'd still wear the helmet.
Yeah, me too.
Because like I like safety.
Yeah.
And I think it is a good rule to bring it in. But
I'm too pretty for it.
But you look back at particularly that 90s period of hurling, right? Lads going around with no helmets. Everybody knew what they looked like.
Yeah.
So it was easier for a player back then to have a higher profile. Look at the Sunday game. A lot of the lads, okay, lately it's been changing a bit, but a lot of the lads who were pundits on the Sunday game and who had the high profile and had the columns in the papers were lads with no helmets because you knew what they looked like.
Don Logan. Ken McGrath. Yeah.
Whereas nowadays, I think lads are less noticeable. They've got helmets on. Yeah, they've got their particular style with their helmets or whatever. But I think it killed it a bit. And there was something fucking made me horny when a lad would just pull a ball out of the air with no helmet on and lash it up the field. And it'd probably be a terrible ball, but it wouldn't matter because it would look class. I think helmets were just better characters. I think better characters back then.
Well, there was more room. Like, a lot of sports were the same in rugby had small lads and fat lads, and now everyone is just a beast.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Will there ever be another Peter Stringer again? Like, the lads who are coming on all playing out half Ireland now are all Tanks,
yeah. I think that's, since rugby, obviously in the 90s, changed to the professional era and stuff like that. You know, less, yeah, less, as you said, it seemed to be like a fat man's game back then. Like, you know, not, no disrespect to anyone. Obviously, you had your quick lads too, but, you know, it seemed like anybody could get a chance to play it. Whereas now, like, you got to be fucking chiseled. Like. And yeah. I think rugby has went on a big transformation since the 90s in that it was seen as quite an elitist game back then. I would think in my head was like a lot of posh lads and private school boys played the rugby back then. Whereas now I think it's more everybody can play, a lot of farmers playing and stuff like that. It's more everyone's game. Whereas back then, I think in the 90s, it was.
Ah, yeah. I remember when our school had their first ever rugby team and we only had one lad.
Who actually played rugby.
Who played rugby for Kilfeacle, and everyone else was just like lads who kind of maybe played a bit of Gow underage and gave it up, didn't really care. And it was like, come on, play the rugby shirt. And they're like, all right. So just that it was Annie's brother. He was the only lad in the team.
Who played rugby.
So they played him in the second row. And I swear to God, he was throwing the ball. He was taking the kicks. He was fucking doing everything, lad.
Oh, my God.
It's a great one in rugby. Do you remember when it was back 2005 and Ireland were playing against Wales? And Paul O'Connell has a lad on the ground resting.
Yeah.
And he punches your man in the head a good four or five times. And the Welsh scrum half comes over to pull him away. And John the Bull Hayes pulls your man away. And you can hear him shouting, leave him at it. This is Ireland versus Wales, like on television, Six Nations. And then the ref just makes them shake hands and they walk away.
I fucking love it. I love it. But like, do you think players were harder in the 90s? Do you think there were stronger men, tougher men and women?
I don't think that they were stronger because I just don't think lads understood weight training as much, and I don't think lads understood diet as much. When I look back, like from our Hurley workshop, we have photos of all Tipperary teams, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And like Nicky English was just not getting the calories on board.
He's skinny, yeah.
He was tough and he was an absolute wizard, but like, if he came up against Paddy Maher, there'd only be one winner. Yeah.
Maura, that Meade team, that famous Meade team of the 90s, they were tough bastards, if not brutes.
It's a controversial subject, but like I think my favourite clip of GA footage ever is a Cork player punching Mick Lyons full on in the jaw and Mick Lyons not even blinking, just walking away.
Yeah. My particular highlight, I think, of Meade football, Mara, in the 90s is their scrap with Mayo.
Oh my God, yeah.
Where lads are just jumping in from all angles. It's like that Yippee-ki-yay scene. They're just, and there's around 40 boxes thrown. I think there was two landed. But pure shamas. That wouldn't happen. That would not happen nowadays.
Fights in sport?
Not as much as you'd see back then.
No, it was gas. I was talking to Colin O'Riordan, who plays Aussie Rules with the Sydney Swans. And he said there does be fights still in Aussie rules, but you hardly ever see anyone get a card. Like, you never see people getting sent off for fighting. You might get cited
later
afterwards, right? But he said it's gas. If you get to the final, sure, no one gives a shit about getting cited. So early in the game, like, you can just go up and fucking deck a lad.
Yeah, so it doesn't follow on to next season.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking
bit
brilliant.
Of a grey area.
Right, so what?
Ice hockey.
Ice hockey is built on, that's why people buy tickets. To be honest, that's why I go to, like, local GA games. Like,
scrap.
Yeah, let's say there's a junior hurling match on. I'm not going down thinking, right, I'm coming down here and I might see a bit of magic skill.
This'll be class.
I'm going down thinking, I'm after paying €6 on the gate, there better be a fucking scrap here. Someone better be kicking off here or I'm fucking out the gate. That's why I'm going. I'm not going for the love of it. I'm going to see a scrap. And I think I like that little element a little bit. You know, I kind of like a bit. That's why I like the 90s. Scraps. Pulling underground, fucking madness, and
no helmets.
But what are the big changes? So money, first of all, money has come into the game since the 90s. Every game, that's GA, soccer, a whole lot. Like soccer in the 90s. Like I read Paul Merson's book. He lived with Paul Gascoigne, right? Two big players in the 90s, and they used to spend their time, like on a Thursday. So they'd have a game on a Saturday, and the Thursday they played this game where they drank red wine and took sleeping tablets. And,
what?
And if they put money in the middle of the table, like a few hundred, maybe a couple of grand in the middle of the table, and they drank red wine and took sleeping tablets, and whoever stayed up the longest took the money and went to bed, and that was the game.
Jeez.
In the 90s, professional soccer players.
What?
Can you imagine, like, you know, Jordan Henderson now and the lads, like, taking sleeping tablets and drinking red wine? not wouldn't happen. Things times have changed, and to be honest, I kind of miss it. But I think the coverage has improved since the 90s. The coverage of sports in general and the visibility of sports.
Oh, it's had a whole image makeover.
Yeah, sports is everywhere now. Like even GA, like, you know, there's the lads on the Sunday Games wearing fucking 3-piece suits. Look at Michael Lester left in the 90s. He looks like at weekends he works for Pixie Photo. Do you know what I mean? Taking photos in your local Tesco.
To be honest, I don't know where this Sunday Game lads wearing suits came out of. Like, lads, you all look great.
Yeah.
But it isn't a bit much, is it?
Ah, it's kind of fucking look, these lads getting done up like. It's toned down, I think, in recent years.
Lads wearing 3-piece suits with a chain. Did Tomás O'Shea have a pocket watch one day?
I think it hit.
The fuck? Is he Oliver Twist?
It hit peak with like Don Logue and Tomás O'Shea wearing dicky balls, like
3-piece suits.
Yeah, it hit peak. Now it's kind of coming back down a bit. It's getting a little less.
Yeah,
little
like less. You look great, lads. You look very sharp, but I don't understand it.
Oh my god!
I'm more of a junior B man.
Yeah.
I grew up. I'm just old enough to remember. I played junior B before the age rule came in, so I was 15.
Yeah.
And I remember my first game. We were playing Mary's out in Gortonbridge, and there was 3 men on our team sent off and 2 on theirs, and we were warming up for the game, and you know, young fella, like I was running around and I'm able to hit the ball both sides, one of my rare skills, and I remember put the ball over off me right and then off me left, and all the junior B lads were like, there'll be none of that fucking shit here. Oh Jesus, the helmet thing is gas though. Talking about Annie's brother, whenever he got thick, he's fucked the helmet off over the sideline.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I loved that. Oh, the Rock was the same. Remember Rock Guthrie? Yeah. Came out. He was... Now, he actually told me one day before we went out in the field in the Junior B game. I said, we out last night. He said, it was. And he said, to be honest, I'm just after having 3 large bottles of cider.
When you were playing the game?
Yeah, he went out hurling the game in Tlaheen.
Oh, my God. That's mental. I think the one thing from the 90s and even the early noughties that has improved is grassroots. So I'm talking about, like, you know, kids...
Oh yeah.
Kids sport and stuff like that has improved. I mean, first of all, parents are told to behave on the sidelines now. Like I've been to under 12 games where fathers have fought.
It's crazy.
On the sideline. And I think that element has been taken over, which is a good thing. I also think the organization to a certain degree.
Mostly.
I haven't seen around in a long time. And I've been going for the rows. But I think as well what's improved is, say, look at our local club, and a lot of local GA clubs and soccer clubs around the country will be the same. They'll probably have an AstroTurf pitch. And they'll have coaches who have done coaching courses. Mm. And they'll all be fucking Garda vetted.
That is a good thing.
I'm just thinking back to when I was a young lad. I remember turning up to play a soccer match one Saturday morning. And like the bus was never there. The bus never turned up. And the manager was like, fuck, I actually went out last night and forgot to book the bus. And we were like, what about the match? We're going to be late. And he was like, we'll walk. And we were like, but the pitch is like 4 or 5 miles away. And he was like, yeah, come on, we'll walk, sure. It'll be a warm-up. and a bunch of 12-year-olds walked like in a line the whole way out to the field, 4 miles out to the field. And then just put on our boots and played the match. And won, like.
Class.
That would not happen nowadays. Like, that fella would be shamed on Facebook now if that happened. By all the local mothers organisation. Things like that have changed. The big change is, I think, sports, obviously the soccer has gotten huge, GA has got a lot more money, stadiums have improved, pitches improved. Just 2 sports that you wouldn't think of. Darts.
Oh yeah.
Darts in the 90s was like smoking fags and lads with guts fucking drinking pints, smoking fags, throwing darts.
Mm.
Now it's kind of, you know.
Or it's still like that, you know, locally.
Yeah, yeah. But like on television, it's been absolutely sexed up. There's girls walking lads to the rings. There's fucking pyrotechnics. There's walk-on music. Long tables.
People go to the darts knowing it's going to be right crack. It's going to be a right session.
I think they've made the darts now to be an event. Whereas before it was a little bit of a game, a sport. Now it's an absolute event. Selling out massive places. Like, I think they've done like 20-something thousand in Amsterdam for a tournament.
If you're down the back...
Yeah, you don't give a shite. You're dressed up as fucking Super Mario or something.
There's no way you can see the game.
But I think that's last. And snooker is one of the sports I think has suffered since the 90s.
Go on.
So back in the 90s, snooker was huge. You had loads of different characters. Late 80s and 90s, you had like Jimmy White, all these mad bastards.
The Hurricane.
But you see, snooker halls were big back then.
Yeah.
I don't know, is there many snooker halls left at all around Ireland? Like, there was loads of snooker halls when I was growing up, but you didn't dare go to them.
What do you mean?
Because you'd be fucking killed. There was a snooker club in Ross. There was a snooker club in Ross Grey, and I swear to God, I don't know if you've seen Lock Stock or Snatch. But that is what the snooker hall was like in Ross Grey. You'd walk in, and like lads would be sneaking. They're all drinking there, and there'd be just everyone be smoking, so you'd barely even see the fucking tables. Like, and it was like a scene out of fucking Sopranos. Ah, oh, I went there once with my cousin. Madness.
Any fights?
Yeah, he might have he might have went for someone with a snooker cue. He also pointed at his throat and was like, stop coughing when I'm taking a shot. They were crazy times, but I think the 90s are the glory years of sport. What we're going to ask now, our listeners, is send us in your stories of sport from the 90s. If you've met a 90s sports star, right? Or if you've had a funny story from a 90s sporting event or anything like that, or underage, please do get in touch. Send us in your correspondence.
Because it's getting a little bit too serious. They reckon the average age of players now, in the last 10 years, it's gone from 27 down to, what are they saying, 23, 24 now?
24 is the average age of a sports player.
Like, people are retiring too. Like, playing with care now with our team, nobody comes training with their kids anymore.
Mm.
When we started, that was a common thing. Remember D-Rock, he'd be playing.
Yeah.
And the three sons would be rambling around the sideline. Fight would be going on and the boys would be in the field.
Yeah. I think the beauty's gone over a little bit. I think it's just too serious now.
We've seen one of my favourite Junior B players when I was over the team. I came out to the Parish League one day and he was reffing the game with a child under his arm. And when I rang him to come back, I was saying, you know, you'll come back and play one more year. And he was like, I will, I suppose. Yeah, you know, when do you train? I said, we train on Mondays. Oh, no problem. Oh, the only thing is, I have to do Pilates. Physio said, I have to do Pilates. And Pilates is on Monday. Other than that, I'll absolutely be in. And I said, jeez, as it turns out, actually, this week now we're training on Tuesday because there's something on. Oh, well, you don't want to do too much, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You don't want to do too much training, you know what I mean?
Bring back those characters. Let us know your local characters and all your stories. Get in touch with us. You can email podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie or Instagram, any of the social media. Get in touch with us. That noise that you can hear in the background is the entrance of Mr. Noel Furlong, and he is a man who thinks yoga is a yogurt drink made for babies. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
Well, Casper. the white hair, lad. Did you see a ghost?
Why you call?
Did you get a fright?
Do you not like my hair?
Did you get a shock? It's my first time seeing you in the flesh now in a while.
Is it?
Haha, beat your fuck. The white, you're like a ghost going around the place, man. Like,
thanks, Noel.
You know, banshee.
Oh yeah, I did it for charity. Did you donate?
Are you sick? Are you? I hope you get the treatment you're after, young fella. I knew a young fella with white hair.
Did ya?
Yeah, a bird shat on him.
Go away.
Yeah, they say that's good luck, you know.
Yeah.
You hear that one?
I heard that, yeah, before, yeah.
It's a funny one, right? That young fella, because a bird shat in his hair. And the next day, he bought a lotto ticket and got Ebola.
Jesus Christ.
It's a fact.
That's a fact, isn't it?
Yeah, it was unusual.
That was very bad luck.
It was it was actually the first recorded case of Ebola in Ireland at the time.
Oh, jeez.
But you know, swings and roundabouts, I suppose.
Yeah.
Comes and goes. But what are you going to do with this intro music?
You're not liking the intro music.
Oh, is that your one Billy English?
Billie Eilish.
Billie English, yeah. She had that song about Dan Shanahan.
What?
Bad guy. Might seduce your mam. Yeah.
Yeah.
You think I don't know music. I know all these music types.
Do you?
I was once at a party in Claire Byrne's house. And she came over with this guy. And she says, this is John Legend. I said, no bother, bit of a fucking legend myself. Turns out he's a singer, right?
Mm.
Nice lad, bit full of himself. I said, take my advice now, son. Don't go around introducing yourself to people as a legend. Think you're a bit of a prick. You know what I mean? You're a nice lad, but... And then, do you know who else was there?
Who?
Hozier.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a few years ago now. He's only getting going. And he started playing this song. Take me to church. And I pulled him aside. I said, look, young fella, you know, not to be telling you your business, but most people call it mass. Just might go down better with the country people. Take me to mass, you know, and cheered up a bit. He had a bit there about worshipping like a dog. I said, it's a bit fucking weird. Do you know what I mean? No one's going to sing that. He is Lord. Like, that was a good song.
Yeah, that is actually a good song.
It was a great song. Do you know, worshipping like a dog, take me to church. And like, again, nice lad. Hadn't a fucking clue about music.
You know, he's massive now.
I've seen him. He's about 7 foot. If he was any longer, he'd have to go up to the cross to turn.
Oh, jeez.
A bed. He wanted a fucking truck container, that fella. A flatbed trailer he wants, that fella. Double axle. Get him into the fuck. He's like a joist of a bungalow, that fella. Now, Maureen, you're on the line. How are you?
I'm good, Noel. Fantastic.
I'm missing your lovely face here. I'm only looking at Casper the Ghost beside me. It's not the same.
Thanks.
Congratulations on winning the quiz last week, Maureen. Were they all on to you? They were?
Yeah, I still haven't got my prize yet, Noel.
No, watch the post. Well, the reason you haven't got your prize yet is because I'm going to give Johnny Stacks a chance to even the score.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Yes.
You're getting one more bite of the cherry. It's
gone, lovely.
It's gone to sudden death.
Okay.
And our team of the local heroes quiz part two continues.
Yes.
Maureen, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First question to you, Johnny Stacks.
Smacks.
Johnny Stacks. Oh. First question to you on local heroes.
Go on.
Fatty Burns. Fatty Burns is releasing his new book about his time as a lifeguard. Fatty Burns is releasing his new book about his time as a lifeguard. But the question is, what is he naming his autobiography?
Okay.
Is it A, I Didn't Take Your Fags? Is it B, I Rode a Woman from Cashel? Is it C, St. Patrick Touched Me in the No-No?
What the fuck?
Or is it D, Angela Scanlon Stabbed My Horse?
What the fuck?
Over to you, Johnny Stacks.
Is it A, I Didn't Steal Your Fangs?
It's not A, I Didn't Steal Your Fangs. That's an art beside your name. It is, of course, D. Apparently, it's been made into a film.
Okay.
And Angela Scanlon is to be played by Brenda Ficker. Okay. Now, Maureen, over to you.
Okay.
Now, we all know local farmer and entrepreneur Vinnie Burke of Burke's Beer, the brewery. But did you know Burke's used to make their own cider? They trialled it in the late 90s. But Maureen, what was the slogan of their cider? Was it A, go on, you're going to ride her anyway? Was it B, Burke cider, fight your priest man to man? Was it C, we're fair cheap? Or was it D? Some apples make computers. Our apples make you forget where you live. Maureen.
Is it D, Noel?
Repeat that.
Is it D?
It's not D, it's B.
Ah.
It is, of course, fight your priest man to man. And you know, I was talking to the priest.
Well,
I was asking people, why did he hate the blacks?
Yeah.
And I had it wrong. He didn't just hate Mary Black and the family. He hated all the blacks.
Okay.
Over what they did to Ireland. Richie what? McCaw, Jonah Lomu,
oh.
The shower of bastards.
The all blacks.
Yeah, all the blacks. He okay. hated all the blacks.
Okay.
Over the rugby.
Thank God for that.
I said I'd clear that up.
Thanks. Thanks, Noel.
Now, back to you, Johnny Stacks. Brendan Joyce, your local insurance man. What is his nickname?
Okay.
Is it Martin Donoghue? Is it B, Pope Francis? Is it C, Spider-Man? Or is it D, the kettle?
D, the kettle.
Ah, oh, it's not the kettle. Jeez, you're on a bad run. I thought you...
I haven't got a cushion right in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it is, of course, Pope Francis. The boy saw him eating garlic bread once and it kind of stuck, so... Now... Maureen, back to you.
Okay.
Last week we were talking about my good friend Dan Bryan and how he released an album. But Dan Bryan said his biggest rival in music was Daniel O'Donnell. But what little known fact about Daniel did Dan Bryan reveal in a recent radio interview about Daniel O'Donnell? Was it A, his mother was pregnant with him for 22 months?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Was it B, he once saw him eat a bar of soap?
Fucking hell.
Was it C, in his pocket, he always carries his pet crow? Or is it D, he once strangled a bishop? Maureen.
Is it B, Noel?
It's not B, it's C.
Ah.
He actually, Daniel O'Donnell actually has a pet crow that he carries around with him.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and the crow is named Gary Pallister. I know, it's unusual, isn't it? Hello.
Gary,
yeah, he'd be in his pocket, he'd be feeding the crow, Gary. He'd be eating scones and buns all the time, going out outruns houses. He'd be putting little bit in his pocket all the time. But this that radio for you, mate. The old radio interviews. She's about the radio. I have a good one for you about the radio.
Well,
you'll enjoy this one. I met the duck, haven't I? You know the duck?
Yeah.
And he got a job with local radio. And they said, oh, I'm going to do these interviews, these documentaries, right? He's trying to make me pound. Then the fucking lockdown come in. And he couldn't get them done.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he likes no drink.
Yeah.
Dr. Water. So he was out drinking. So now he couldn't do the interviews. And I said to him, sure, it's not the radio. Interview me and I'll just pretend to be whoever you want.
Yeah.
So he says, no bother anyway. We're going live on the radio now, right? It's fucking hell. So we're going live on the radio. And he starts off, of course, you know, hello, welcome to Fireside Chats with me, Doc Carbina. And our new segment, Welcome to Our Town. Today I'm interviewing a man who has just moved here from the Middle East. I said, oh, for fuck's sake, Doc. What? The Middle what? The Middle East. I thought he meant like Arklow or somewhere. But... He starts off anyway, and he's like, so, tell me, what brought you to our town? And I had to start doing some sort of advice. I was like, in my country, George Bush make the bomb. My children have to eat glass. I didn't know what to be fucking saying. I said, come on, move on. And then he was like, and are you enjoying it here? I said, oh, fuck's sake, Chuck. I was like, yes, I love the old crack. So, that was...
How did that go?
Down bad. I threw it back at him then. I said, oh, hey, Doc, I have another guest for you here. And I came up then and I was like, hello, it's me, Shaggy, the rapper.
Oh, no.
How you doing, man? I'm just here making a new song with my friend, Richie Kavanaugh. He played a bongo bongo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was live on the radio. Do you miss that during the week?
I missed that during the week. Yeah, I'll have to tune in.
It was good now, in fairness. It was good.
Is it on repeat?
I don't know. I suppose so. It's probably the best thing to have now at this stage.
Could people ring up and just ask, is it on?
Yeah, you know the number. I'm going to double check the number off the top of my head now. Is it 062? 226-22, I think now. But anyway, speaking about Dan Bryan. So Dan Bryan had a great song about splitting up with the missus.
Yeah.
But can you name his famous breakup song? Was it A, You Can Wash Your Own Diesel Now? Was it B, I Know You Had a Baby With My Uncle? While I Was at the Shop? Was it C? Was it C? Was it C? I Have a Chronic Fear of Albinos. Bit of a red herring, that one. Was it D? Or was it D? You said it was love, but it looks fair like herpes.
Was it A?
It was A. You can wash your own diesel now. Bye, Johnny Stacks. Bye. You're up one. Maureen, a chance to pull it back, as they say in the game. From the Dan Bryan infamous album, complete the lyric of this song, right? Maureen, complete the lyric.
Okay.
When I'm with you, I feel like I'm in A, paradise, B, mallow, C, a New Holland, or D, when I'm with you, I feel like I'm in the Clonmel Arts Festival.
is it C, Noel? When I'm with you, I feel like I'm in a New Holland.
Oh, no, Maureen. Oh. It's not. It's B, Mallow. Oh. Apparently, she had the same smell as Mallow.
Okay.
Wet grain. Johnny Stacks pips you today, Maureen.
Damn it, one all.
So, we might have another quiz another day and see if you can regain the title, Maureen.
Okay.
Oh, Noel, I enjoyed that. You're getting crazier. This lockdown's affecting you.
It fucking is. I'm not seeing anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm shouting at people, at anyone who goes by, you know. But not the same. You want to sit down and have a chat with a fella.
Yeah.
You know, normally I'd be calling around people's houses getting free tea and buns and whatnot, but
mind yourself, innit?
Yeah. Nobody thinking of the old people.
No, that's true.
Oh, I'm okay to go out and about. I'm a young person. I'm healthy. What about the old people?
Yeah.
Come in here with your fucking corona and your fucking gout and I have a life to live too.
Yeah, we know that. We understand that.
Stay safe.
Mind yourself. See you next week.
Yeah. Good luck. Slán.
Bye. She can't wait for the beauty salons to open back up again. Her beautician is going to be like Mr. Miyagi. Wax on, wax off. And Maura is going to be screaming. Maureen, what is your mystery topic? Can you tell us this week?
It's a little bit taboo. It's probably going to make you feel very awkward. But anyway, I'm going to do it. Lads, this week's topic.
Not new, so.
This week's mystery topic is about period sex. Did you know it's safe to have sex when a woman's on her period? Like, you can actually do it.
Yeah, like, as in, like, you can actually do it or getting her pregnant, like.
Oh, well, there's still the risk that you could get pregnant because sperm lives in the womb for 7 days. But
okay, okay.
By the time a woman...
Fucker, isn't he?
When you're actually, like, when you're on your period, you're not actually ovulating. So it's like the womb is shedding, okay. Its lining. So it's actually, but like, it's such a taboo thing, but it's actually, there's quite a few upsides to having sex during your period. Number one, relief from cramps. Because apparently orgasms relieve menstrual cramps. and also sex triggers the release of chemicals called endorphins, which make you feel good. Number two, I didn't know this. Having sex in your period leads to a shorter period. It's because the muscle contractions during an orgasm push out the uterine contents faster. So that, I don't really know if you want that stuff pushed out faster, but anyway, it's a byproduct.
Well, Maura, you're assuming there's an orgasm here now, so.
We'll get to the orgasm. So number three is increased sex drive. And this is actually... some women do, I know this from talking to female friends, they do say that like on day two or three of their period, they do feel extra horny. They do feel like they want to have sex. And number four, like there's natural lubrication with blood. So you don't actually need like KY jelly or whatever. And number five, which is...
KY jelly? The fucking...
I've never used it, but apparently it's a common thing.
Yeah. And number five.
By the look on Smax's face, he concurs.
Oh, fuck, I'd never use this. He'd wet his notter's pocket if I was their own. I'm only messing.
Can we go back to talking about GA? Sorry, Maura, go on.
And the last benefit of having sex during your period is that a lot of women get migraine headaches. And if you have sex, that releases like the tension. And I'd say like a lot of women do report that it partially or completely relieves the migraines. Now, there are side effects. Number one is obviously absolutely destroying your bed sheets. Like, you know, day one of the period, you know, you could be kind of talking about like a crime scene investigation type thing.
Jesus.
So the recommendation is that you put down a dark coloured towel on the bed beforehand to catch any leaks, or even have sex in the shower to avoid mess kind of entirely. And maybe stick to light days that maybe don't go day one. And then there's also the issue of foreplay. So this is the only thing that where I would be like, yeah. Period sex is a bit weird. It's like using your hands during foreplay can be a bit messy. So, and like obviously, like
a pair of gloves.
Yeah, and there is the thing of like oral sex as well, which I don't think any person how brave they are is gonna
Jeez,
venture
Maura,
into that.
Bad enough stirring the porridge, you're not eating it, like.
I did read one thing before, and I was trying to find it on the internet and I couldn't. Hunter S. Thompson, he wrote about his time spent with the Hell's Angels. And the Hell's Angels, if you're in the, you know, the biker gang, they would give you different types of medals for different times. And they actually used to give out a medal with red on it to guys who'd given oral sex to women when they were on their period. So...
Hell's Angels give out a medal for it.
Yeah. Or like a badge or something. Like that. Now, I read that 10 years ago and I was trying to verify that, but I must read, I think it was in the book Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, mad book or whatever. Yeah. So I think that kind of stuff was maybe best left to the Hell's Angels, but I'm going to throw it out to the listeners because I can, you know, even though I'm about 200 miles away from you, I can feel your tension from here on this subject.
Oh my God. The worst thing is I actually have a story on this.
Go
on. Can you tell
it?
Oh yeah, we might cut this. So a friend of mine, fucking years ago, I'd say we were only maybe 18, 19 at the time, and we went to the nightclub, and afterwards the thing to do would be to go to Supermax, like. Yeah. There's no sign of my friend, he'd been off with a bird. And when we seen him in Supermax dinner around 20 minutes later, he was in around, and I was like, Lad, you've got red sauce all over you there.
Oh, jeez.
And he was like, jeez, I'm only after coming in the door, didn't he? And I said, and then he just went, oh, the dirty. And I was like, what? And I'll let the listener put two and two together. But he wasn't after eating a quarter pounder. I'll put it that way.
The red sauce was on his chest.
It was on his mouth.
Oh, on my nose.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He looked like he'd eaten a fucking hamburger. Like he'd red sauce on his lips here. Like
he'd have to have been down a laneway or something like.
Yeah. And it was dark.
He had beat
it was dark. He was down a laneway and he had no idea.
He thought he was on fire.
He nearly got sick, lad. I remember saying it to him and he was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Well, there's some carry on.
I know. I probably shouldn't have told that. But look, no one will know who it is, innit?
You can tell me afterwards.
Oh, Jesus. Oh. Yeah. Sorry, Mara, for low. As if the tone couldn't get any fucking lower on this podcast.
God.
Tell him to get in touch with the Hells Angels and the Sunday Mountain Band.
Get in touch with the fucking local clinic, I'd say.
Hey, Mara, we're trying to get a sponsor here. Come on.
Next week, sponsored by Heinz Red Sauce.
Hello. It's a chat. No, it is like, listen. This is a completely genuine thing. Like the NHS have it on their website that you can have sex in their period. And it's still a taboo thing, but it actually might help women feel better during their time of the month. So, a conversation about it and let us know your stories.
You're educating people, Maura, in fairness.
Yeah.
Okay. Fucking hell. I think I need a nice cup of chamomile tea. Have you ever done it, Sean?
Yeah, we can cut this out if you want, but like, have I ever? Surely. But also, if a girl said to me it was her time of the month, I'd be happy to leave her alone.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's a completely personal thing. Like, and I think that'd be like day 4 or 5, you probably wouldn't notice much of a difference from regular sex. Like, it's probably just day 1 where it should be very messy, like, you know, so. But yeah,
I like that. Remember Eric Cartman's line of, I don't trust anything that bleeds for 4 days and doesn't die.
How long does an average period last, Mara? Just as a
asking for a friend.
So it lasts about 5 to 7 days on average. But I think for most women, they only kind of bleed heavily like maybe the first 3 days. But like every woman's different. Like some women can have like really heavy periods, like, and you know that. And it depends as well, like if you're taking the pill, that can affect it. And affect it also if you're stressed out, like, you know, like stress is a massive thing. Like, I bet you, like, there's a lot of girls because of the stress of quarantine actually missing periods at the minute. So, like,
fuck.
What, you'd miss it completely because you were stressed?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. That or you, like, you know, did loads of writing because there's nothing else to do and suddenly got accidentally pregnant. But, yeah. But there was actually a story during the week that one discount retailer saying that the sales of pregnancy tests have gone up massively because people are worried that they've, you know, maybe gotten pregnant. So
no, fucking wrap up.
Exactly.
Stress is the big one. Yeah, like, you know, if a woman's like, oh, I think I'm pregnant, and then, like, you know, she starts worrying about it, and then, like, you're waiting on the period to come.
Oh, because you're stressed.
Because you're stressed, then you're fretting about being pregnant is nearly as bad, yeah. So, yeah, catch 22. Thanks, Mara, for turning me off my dinner. Next week, we talk about other taboo subjects. Thanks, Mara. I actually won't say I enjoyed that one. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number 2 Johnnies Pod to get in touch. You can email us at podcast@2johnnies.ie. If you want more podcasts, you can subscribe at Patreon. Just download the app and you can get in touch with us on any of our social medias at the Two Johnnies. Now, we're going to round off the podcast as is tradition with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week. This is our highlights and lowlights. John Bernard.
My yurt of the week is I got some lovely hard cured bacon.
Oh, lad, to tell you know, this quarantine, we are living it up. Hard cured bacon.
Yeah, I went to the butcher to get it and I was like, obviously got stopped by the guards and they're like, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm going to the butcher. And they're like, you know, but there's one the other direction closer to you. And I was like, yeah, but he has a bit of hard cured bacon put aside for me. And they were like, oh, that's very hard to get, very important. Go get it. Took a selfie with me and on I went. So
that is fucking crazy.
So hard cured bacon, like normal bacon, but dry cured in salt for 8 weeks. And then you boil it at home and it was delicious. I worked with a lad who used to wrap it in brown paper and put it in his hot press for about 2 months before he ate it.
Oh my God.
As a former butcher, I wouldn't recommend that. And also just out of cleanliness, and if you don't want to smell like a fucking pig, don't put it in your hot press with any clothes anyway, definitely.
Yeah. But very nice. You have to change the water when you're cooking it, but hard cured bacon, still out there, very nice.
My yurt of the week is, I've got a recommendation kind of first. Well, like, you know, one of the, I guess it is a yurt, is Afterlife Series 2 is out now, Ricky Gervais show. If you want to cry and laugh and just fucking ruin your life for a couple of hours, watch that. It's brilliantly good. It's a dark comedy, but it's great. Afterlife, check that out. And then my other kind of yurt is, we've got like a massive positive response during this kind of lockdown period, is like, obviously our show on the Marquee was cancelled by a year, but people were messaging just saying they can't wait for next year.
Yeah.
And they're holding on to their tickets and they're still excited. And that means a lot to us, because obviously we'd be freaking out, you know, worrying about our livelihoods and our future career. So it's good to get such a positive feedback. And that goes to the people subscribing on Patreon as well. Thanks very much. You're also positive. That's massively helping us. So thanks to you, the listeners. Dirt, John.
No dirt.
Yeah, not really for me either. I would just say to people, in the last couple of days, people have started to get complacent with regards to the fucking restrictions put on us during this lockdown. And I'd say, look, there's like 11 days left or 10 days left now at this moment until May the 5th. Just keep it going till then, and then we'll assess the situation. Don't be getting complacent. We get rid of this fucking thing and get our lives back together would be my thinking on that.
Do your own little bit.
Do your own little bit. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Go on. Good luck. It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Cheers, Maura. That was a mad one.
Was it too left field?
You should have seen Smax's face.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.